عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى، إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا، إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, the topic that we have at hand today is the virtue and the history of Masjid al-Aqsa in particular and Jerusalem in general. I will inshallah towards the end of my talk make mention of the reason and the objective for choosing this topic tonight. So therefore, because it's a long topic, I'm going to go immediately into the flesh and the contents of the topic. Before we just go very briefly to make mention that today when we talk of Masjid al-Aqsa, then we talk of Jerusalem, and maybe beyond that also we can look at the land of Sham, which is made mention in the hadith. So specifically, Masjid al-Aqsa is the focus of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. Then beyond that, or generally more specifically, we have Masjid al-Aqsa, then after that we have the city of Jerusalem. Today it is known as Jerusalem, but in Islamic terminology it is also referred to as Al-Quds, which means purification, and that is where we find the name Baytul Maqdis, the place of purification and purity. And then beyond that also, we find in the hadith mention made about the land of Sham. Now, Sham is loosely translated as Syria, but we must not confuse the Islamic terminology of Sham with the present nation state of Syria. Because when the Quran or the Hadith makes mention of Sham, it refers not only to present day Syria, or maybe parts of present day Syria, but also refers to parts of Palestine, what is known as Jordan today, and also what is known as Lebanon. Parts of these four countries would form part of what is known as Sham, and that is what the reference is in a hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After understanding these few introductory remarks, Masjid al-Aqsa, according to the hadith, is the second masjid to be established on this earth. Abu Zar Ghafari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates a hadith which appears in Sahih Muslim, that he asked our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which is the first masjid and the house of Allah to be established on this earth. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Masjid al-Haram. Allah ta'ala also in the fourth surah of the Holy Quran makes mention, Inna awwala bayti wudhi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi Bakkah. The first house of Almighty Allah to be established on this earth is Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Then he asked, Ya Rasulullah, which masjid thereafter? And Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, it is Masjid al-Aqsa, Baytul Maqdis. And he asked, what was the duration between the building of these two, or between the establishment of these two houses? And Nabi Karim s.a.w. replied, 40 years. The ulama have differed that whether it was the angels who first built and established Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Aqsa, or reference here is made to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. But be as it may, we find that this was the origin of Masjid al-Aqsa, right from the beginning of humanity. Thereafter, it remained the focal point and abode of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, there is one thing that we always got to keep in mind, that if great personalities enrich a place, and undoubtedly, great personalities do enrich a place. There's no doubt with regard to it. I'll give you one or two quick examples. Konya is a place in the middle of Turkey. No one would have known, perhaps, It would not have been as well known had it not been for the sake or for the fact that Imam Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali originated from Konya. Today no one would have known. People who have some ta'alluq know that that is a place where Imam Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali came from. In our circumstances, Tana Bhawan would have been perhaps a small village in UP in India, had it not been for the fact that Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali spread his uloom and his knowledge and his wisdom from that particular place. So undoubtedly, the presence of great personalities enrich a place. And if this is a fact, then Al-Quds and Jerusalem is supreme and second to very, very few other places in the world. And this is from the very beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of it as being the abode of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, starting from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as we are aware, birthplace in Iraq, in Ur. Today it is referred to as Urfa. And from there, we, as everyone is aware, the time of Qurbani, we know about the incident that he migrated from that place. Where did he migrate? He migrated to Palestine. He migrated to Al-Quds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this in the Holy Quran. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we save Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, with Hazrat Lut to a land which we had granted blessing. Now this land, again I'm going to refer to this many a times, the land, not the buildings. He migrated to Al-Quds and he migrated to Palestine. Allah Ta'ala says we had granted this particular land blessings. Mention is also made by the historians that as we are aware, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, towards the latter portion of his life when he was quite elderly, well, according to some riwayats and narrations, when he was 80 years of age, he fathered Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And then when he was 99 years, then at that time he gave birth to Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. He fathered Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. So people who have white hair here, alhamdulillah, you still got some quite a bit of chance. Yeah. So at the age of 99, he fathered Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. Then we know that the building of Masjid-e-Haram in Baytullah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam completed with his one son, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Just as he completed the rebuilding of the Kaaba and the Baytullah, with Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, historians make mention that he in a similar manner rebuilt the Masjid-e-Aqsa with his other son, Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was also revitalization of this particular Mubarak place and land. Thereafter, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, also his teachings and his place was of course in the land of Sham, the land of Palestine. Of course, we also know the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he delivered the Bani Israel from the tyranny of Fir'aun, and he brought them to the land of the promised land, the way the Bible make mention with regard to the promised land. Obviously, he didn't reach the promised land, as we are aware with regard to it. The reason why he didn't reach the promised land was because of the ungratefulness of his tribe, the ungratefulness of Bani Israel. And this was a remarkable incident. What was the height of ungratefulness? They had seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help descending upon them. You know, it was not as, you know, we read about the miracles of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, but we have not had the chance of seeing the miracles, but we believe in it. And we have absolutely no doubt, inshallah, with regard to that it is a fact. But here was a people that never mind reading about the miracles, it happened in front of them. They saw the sea opening up for them. And when Fir'aun tried to retrace their steps, he was engulfed and overwhelmed by the sea. And he was overtaken and he drowned. They saw the help of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of them. And after Allah ta'ala promises them that you would go into the promised land if you show some initiative and courage. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, now let us go towards that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us. They said, Ya Musa, we were not going to go with you. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ إِنَّ فِيَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ. Oh Musa, they are very strong people living in that land. We can't go and fight with them. Idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila. Go you and your Allah and fight. We are not going to join you. After seeing the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of them, this was their response. As a punishment from Almighty Allah, they remained for 40 years, you know, wandering aimlessly in a barren land. In that also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them such great amount of favors. So that Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was on the verge of very near Masjid al-Aqsa and Baytul Muqaddas, or Baytul Maqdis. And he was very near, but he didn't reach Jerusalem or Ilya or Al-Quds, as it is known. And Bukhari Sharif has a very beautiful hadith with regard to this, that when the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam to depart from this world came, Allah Ta'ala sent Malikul Maut to go and take the ruh and the soul of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam. Now the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam are given the option with regard to their ruh and their soul being taken to depart from this world. Not you and I, we will never depart. There's a situation. But Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam are given this option. Do you want to leave or not? So the Musa alayhi salatu was salam said, no, I want to still remain. How does someone whom I have love for, how can he take away my ruh and soul? So Malikul Maut went to Allah and said, oh Allah, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam refuses to come, refuses for me to take out his soul. So Allah Ta'ala sent down Malikul Maut again and said, tell Musa to put his hand over a cow, an amount of hair that is on his hands, that amount of hair, according to that, that amount of years will be increased in his life. So Musa alayhi salatu was salam said, thereafter what? He said, thereafter you still have to depart. He said, if I have to depart, let me go now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him the option and he said, oh Allah, if I have to depart, make me depart as near as possible to Al-Quds. As near as possible. Then the words in the hadith reads that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I was there, I would have shown you his qabr, which is below the red sand hill on the side of the road, going towards Al-Quds. I would have shown you his qabr. Allah knows with regard to whether today they take you around and they show you that this is the qabr of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows with regard to the authenticity. But this hadith is in Bukhari Sharif that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, if I was there, I would have shown you the qabr of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then continuing from there, Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam spent his entire life in and around Jerusalem and Al-Quds. Many events in his life focused around Masjid al-Aqsa and Al-Quds. And Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam was a ruler of Palestine. And although the Bani Israel, the importance really begins for them of Al-Quds with the era of Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. For us, and this is very important, and inshallah we'll go on to make emphasis with regard to it, Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam's reign as a king of Al-Quds and a ruler of Palestine forms a link in the chain that began with Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and will continue till the end of time, as you will go on to make mention. What is very interesting is Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam had three wives. His third wife is the mother of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Bathsheba. Now, Bathsheba was a Hittite.